Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Lender Legal. So for, I guess this would be November. So only a couple months left in the year. 2 months, I guess. This one and one more. But wanted to address with you today, obviously, one of the things that's going on for a lot of companies is, obviously, we know the decline in volume, the decline in margins, and associated with that are efforts to compete with other lenders, and then, you know, what do you do when a loan officer comes to you with concessions? And I'm getting tons and tons of questions about what can we do to deal with concessions. So, and I'm also getting a lot of questions or statements that are like, hey, these other lenders are doing stuff that, that you know, isn't lawful. Is it lawful? I'm hearing it is lawful. What can we do? So I want to sort of lay the groundwork for that, talk about what you can do, what you can't do, get some clarity around that, talk a little bit about what some people are doing, whether it's good or not, and then sort of address some, at least one idea of what I think you might be able to do that isn't exactly what you want, but might get you at least part of the way there. So let's first talk about, you know, basically under LO comp rules, can you pay differently or allow loan officers to give concessions and reduce their comp on those concessions? The answer, unfortunately, is no. And I just want to be clear, this is one of those, you know, don't pass go, don't collect 200. There's no way you can allow loan officers to reduce their comp by the amount of the concessions they give. There's just no way to do it, okay? Not on a loan-by-loan basis, at least. So people you hear are doing it, and I'll tell you how they're doing it, and it's not lawful, and I think it's one of those scenarios where it's basically playing a game of, am I going to get caught, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. So what you see happening, there are I don't know that many companies are just simply allowing loan officers to take concessions and reducing their comp. The two main workarounds I hear a lot are they create a lead system where they say, okay, well, if it's company-provided leads, we could pay less on comp. Well, the problem and what they're doing is they're just calling it a lead, and then it's not really a lead, but they're just assigning it as a lead, and then we're reducing the comp. So it's kind of a scenario where they call loan officer Joe. Loan officer Joe can't close the deal, but he says, oh, but I'll tell you what, if I call it a lead, then I can. And then so they create this kind of two-tiered pricing system. And people said, well, can't you do that? I mean, you're after all, you're allowed to reduce for leads, if it's reduced compensation, if it's a company lead as opposed to self-generated. Well, here's the thing. Then what happens is that whole plan becomes a proxy, right? Because it is something that the loan officers can control. They are controlling it. It's enabling it to happen, and it's a circumvention of the LO comp rules. Just because you can pay differently on leads doesn't mean you can use it as a means of creating a proxy or circumvention of the rules. That's why they wrote the rules that way. So that's not lawful. It's not possibly lawful. And essentially anybody who's doing that isn't playing I'm smarter than the average bear game. They're playing the I'm betting that I'm not going to get caught game, right? It's not a question of is there any defense to it? No. And just for those people who say, well, how am I going to get caught? I've known of lenders who have gotten caught. I've represented lenders who've gotten caught. Because it takes one small thing that you can't control, a loan officer. A loan officer leaves and says, hey, I really should have been paid all of this on a loan, but I wasn't because they just called it a lead because they were reducing my compensation. And they go to the right person, the right lawyer, the right regulator. Not only do they have a fantastic wage claim against you, right, but now you're all the regulatory risk. And let's be honest, if you get that letter, and I know lenders who have gotten that letter, you're not going to fight it. I mean, you could say all you want, you will, but you won't, because the chance of a lawsuit getting filed in federal court that says this is what you've done with all your employees over X periods of time, you can't take that risk. You're just paying them what, you know, effectively you can get away with paying them, to be quiet. So, I mean, that's the problem with doing a plan like that. You know, it's, and with all due respect to those who have done it, it's short-sighted because it takes one person to blow the whistle on you and you're dead meat and or they really have a lot of control over you. So be very, very, very careful. Another thing I'm seeing are retention desks. And retention desks done, completely the wrong way, because they're not even arguably retention desks. What they call retention desk is a loan officer that sits at the branch that they call the retention loan officer. And then let's say his name is Joe again, and loan officer Tom says, "Hey, Joe, retention desk Joe, here's the loan. I can't close it because Wells is offering, you know, for example, you know, eighth of a point less. I need you to call it, get a deal done, sign the 1003, and that's what they do. And there's no retention desk. It's just, again, a two-staged program. That is not lawful. There's no way it's lawful. It's, again, a circumvention of the rules. But Joe becomes a proxy for loan terms, you know. It's that whole thing. So, no, that can't be done that way. We've talked in the past about how to potentially set up a retention desk. Just a couple of sessions ago we talked about that, and I don't want to necessarily cover that again for any of you who already heard it once. I want to talk about some other stuff. But if you do have questions about that, you guys have my email. You can email me, and I can take you through it a little more specifically. But that's not the way. You know, having quote-unquote retention desk Joe is not the way to do it. And a lot of people are doing it that way. And so that's how people are saying, oh, well, they're getting around concessions, is they're creating these sub – I mean, it's what they are. I hate to call it what it is, but they're subterfuges, right? They're not legitimate. They're just games to circumvent the rules. They haven't figured out a better mousetrap. They haven't figured out a way to do it. It's just not lawful those ways. So – and, you know, the problem is people say, oh, well, I'm not really worried about getting caught. And, you know, and by the way, the CFPB, you know, is dead right now. And just remember this, too. I've said this before and other. You know, at some point in time, the politics are going to change. You know, Trump won't be president forever. And you're going to have somebody else in charge, and that person's going to put their own people in the CFPB. And let's just say it's 2 years from now. That could be a real, I've used this analogy, it's like a really bad hangover during after the party, right? It could be a bad hangover, because if you get that letter 2 years from now saying, wow, look what you guys were doing the last 2 years when the cat was away, it could be, like that could be a bad outcome. So I totally understand that people are suffering, that it's hard right now, but we've sort of been here, and a lot of people have been in the industry, been before, back to, you know, a decade or so ago, we you know, right before the Great Recession. And, you know, I do think, though, those people who survive long-term do it at least in arguably protected or permissible way. But the things that I'm hearing being done are not those things. So, you know, I encourage you to keep trying good ideas to get stuff done. So let's kind of turn to what do I do about concessions. So, look, on a loan-by-loan basis, I said you can't do it, and I stick with that. I don't know how you can. But if you create the right incentives through other means that are at least arguably defensible, then I think you can create such incentives that affect a loan-by-loan decision. Let me give you one area where I would do it, is I would do scorecards, okay? And I would get a little more aggressive, if you have to, with these scorecards. And I would do it in the following ways. Start off by saying, okay, I'm going to, in my scorecard, that I'm going to review comp every, and again, the rules say every 6 months. I stick with that. That is the rule. Well, it's the rule. It's the guidance they gave was every 6 months, and I would stay with that. But listen, look, if you have to and you have to, I'd rather you shorten that to 5 months than go and do one of these things where you call it a lead and it's not a lead, right? I mean, measuring the alternatives, if you can't exist, that's better than the other scenario, right? And it's harder to detect, and at least it's plausible that it's compliant, right? You're not sitting out there with your you-know-what hanging out in the wind when a loan officer calls you and says, guess what I felt like doing today? I got myself a lawyer, and we went down to the Labor Department, and then our next stop is the CFPB. Would you like to write me a check now? And this is how many zeros. Like, that's where you are in those other scenarios. So what I'm suggesting is even if you're going to get aggressive, even if you're not going to follow the guidance to a letter of the T, at least put yourself in a place where you're not completely and totally exposed by luck of the draw. And so these scorecards, I'm going to talk to you about being pretty aggressive in them. And again, the guidance is every 6 months. But, you know, that's the guidance, right? But like I said, you know, there are times, drastic times require just drastic measures. I understand that. But even with these scorecards, you're not in a complete level of vulnerability. So you take these scorecards and we put in things like, that you'd typically put in for an LO. Pull through, volume, all the stuff that isn't questionable, right? And then you add to those things volume, pull through, let's see what else, number of maybe total days of from open to close, number of submissions to underwriting, time to clear conditions, time from initial issuance of LE to submission to underwriting, number of locks that are busted, things like that, okay? You put all that stuff through. Now you start also now getting to some of the more I call them X-rated factors, right? And you know what they are, concessions, pricing, all that good stuff. And what I would do is rather than just give it to you and say, hey, this is how profitable you were, I would start building a scorecard that measured people on specific issues in comparison to their peers, that being other people in the region, other loan officers in the company, other loan officers, in a particular branch, whatever you think is the most similarly situated group. Maybe you do all of the above. And through that scorecard mechanism, you start measuring things like, okay, let's talk about concessions. I would probably rank people by the number of concessions. You might also rank people by the average amount of concessions, right? Not necessarily the total amount they gave, because now we're getting really into that profitability. But look, if you rank average and you rank number, you can probably figure out where that is. And then you could rank maybe combined ranking or something like that. And through that, what you start doing and the arguments you start creating is, look, I'm not making decisions based on profitability. I'm making decisions based on, the amount of concessions they gave. I'm doing this as a comparison amongst the company. If everybody gives $100 in concessions, then nobody ranks lower than anybody. Who cares, right? But why shouldn't I be able to examine when I'm looking at a client, at my employees, performance based on the fact that you're all in the same branch, you're all dealing with the same clients, and for some reason you, Joe, are giving concessions at more than anybody else in the company, and you're giving, you're at the top 10% of the company giving concessions, we're all in the same market, we're all doing the same things, why are you giving way more than anybody else? And I think a pretty plausible argument can be made in that type of situation with a very open evaluation that says, look, I'm not evading or avoiding the rules, okay, what I'm doing is I'm ranking people between themselves amongst performance. If everybody's giving concessions, and they're giving a lot of them, and it's because we have to, because of our pricing or whatever else might be, then nobody gets hurt. But if for some reason you give them more than everybody else who is similarly situated to you, why can't that be a legitimate evaluation of your performance? I don't know what the CFPB would or would say, but I think it's a pretty good argument. And especially if you combine that, and you could do that on pricing. I mean, I think you could do that on a lot of things. The idea as opposed to just looking at like, well, this is how much you price, this is what you need to price, this is the difference. Making that, I think, an evaluation that's more ranked-oriented, that is a comparison to each other, now doesn't look at gross dollars, but looks more at performance relative to other people and how they perform, and then adjust comp based on that. So, for example, what you could ultimately do is take comp on a long-term plan away from that bottom 30% who are giving lots of concessions and lots of stuff and giving it to the people who are not giving the concessions. And, again, is this aggressive? Absolutely. But I think you understand the rationale of what I'm building, and it's at least arguably, if not, I think it's pretty defensible, actually. It's not squarely against the guidance like all these other people are doing. You could argue it both ways, but I think, at some point, look, part of my rationale too is this. You can't argue, let's not forget, you're all for-profit institutions, right? At some time, you have to be able to measure that and consider that in making changes to compensation. You have to. You are a for-profit institution. And I think that's a powerful argument. So if somebody were to attack this and say, well, no, you can't do that. You're paying on profitability. No, we're assessing performance in part, not even on profitability, but we're on the people who make us the most money, we're going to pay the most. What's wrong with that? We are a for-profit institution. To take that out of it and to take that out of the equation is to sort of suspend reality for what we are, and you can't do that, particularly in difficult economic times. for the industry. So I think, though, what you could do to kind of get back to this is almost create a system where, you know, if you're in a certain percentage, let's say you're in the you know, from 60% or 70% to 40%, you know, that group in the middle, their comp doesn't change. The people at the top who are giving the most concessions most frequently, you know, that's a change. And the people in the bottom, that's a change for the better for them. So you're shifting dollars around the company away from people who are doing things that are not helping to you and towards people. And if you put that plan in and, you know, maybe you start it, I don't advocate starting it on 30 days. I still think 6 months, that's the time frame I think is safe. But again, you know, before you were going to do one of those other things, if I was forced to choose, I'd rather you do something like this. And even if you started it at 90 days, and then you went to 6 months, and then, you know, you sort of streamlined things that way, that's better. But I do think you could create the incentives you're trying to create in terms of these concessions. Now, again, it does not solve the entire problem. I understand part of the problem isn't incentivizing it. Part of the problem is, you know, the simple fact you have to be competitive. But, you know, if you give loan officers more latitude so they can be competitive, you know, that's the problem. If you gave them latitude in pricing, then they could be competitive, but you could potentially lose money. But if you give that latitude in pricing and at the same time create the right incentives and then adjust back on the back end of it, it doesn't get you exactly where you want to be. I understand that. But it's at least getting concessions into the mind of loan officers and them realizing that, hey, there is a cost to this. That's one, you know, thing I think that you could be doing. I think you could also, especially for companies that are a little bit smaller, I don't think this works for the largest companies, going to more of a pick-a-pay plan. And I've talked again about the permissible boundaries of those plans. And you know, again, I don't want to necessarily cover that all again, but I would say that having that type of plan would enable loan officers to move to a more competitive rate if they found they couldn't sell in their range, and that was they were having lots of concessions, they would move their comp down. So I think using a scorecard with also using a pick-a-pay plan, if it's designed correctly, is getting part of the way there, because what you really want, I mean, everyone's told me that, you want loan officers to essentially reduce their pay, right? That's what would fix this. And if they're giving concessions all the time, and that's going to cause them to rank, and that ranking could cause them to go to a lower pay plan, then that's ultimately reaching the result that you want. If somebody is, you know, performing at a high level, then you don't need to necessarily switch them. So the point is, this would, you know, the pick-a-pay plan along with some type of evaluation like the scorecard, where you could evaluate people within the different pay plans even as well, will enable you to, I think, adjust people back to where they need to be if you implement both of these at the same time. And just as a really quick, again, call me if you want to set up a pick-a-pay plan. It's very specific to each company whether they can and should do it. But the idea behind it is having a limited number of buckets spaced a certain number of place, you know, a certain space apart so people can't move that easily, but that also allow people to move when and for reasons with the market that they feel they need to be in a different price plan to be more competitive with the business as opposed to simply giving concessions all the time. So, you know, that's important. The other thing is fair lending, okay? If you do something like this, any of these plans, you have to watch fair lending very carefully. That means doing your regression analysis at least annually. Depending on your volume, it might be more than that, and being very careful with how you set it up. In particular, if you have groups that are appealing to a certain, let's say you have you're appealing to Hispanic borrowers with Spanish-speaking loan officers, and you have a specific group, you've got to be really cognizant that group isn't going to be the highest pay plan, right? Because you know how that's going to show up on your fair lending analysis. So, you know, the combination, I think, of a properly implemented pick-a-pay plan with these scorecards in the right setting, with the right company that doesn't have any fair lending issues, that is small enough to be effective, and even for larger companies, I think the scorecard can be very effective if done right. I think those are all parts and elements you can employ that are at least arguably, if not more than arguably, compliant. And it, in part, addressed sort of the concerns, with the idea being that over a period of time, 90 days, 6 months, you're going to get people to settle into a pay structure that is actually going to be consistently viable, as opposed to an artificially raised pay structure where you're digging them for the same amount each loan. You know, I know every company says, well, we just wish our loan officers would accept less pay. Then these are the same companies many times that say, well, my loan officers are willing to take concessions in order to close loans. Well, if you're willing to take concessions to close loans, then you're willing to take less pay. Maybe not on every deal, right? But, I mean, if the right numbers, it's just a numbers game. If you're taking concessions on every third loan and, you know, one-third of the amount of your compensation, well, why not just move you down a tenth on every single loan? You end up at exactly the same place. And so maybe I should have started the conversation with that theory behind it, but if you can use the scorecard and use a pick-a-pay plan to end up with that adjustment on an ongoing basis so that you take one-tenth off on each loan instead of 30% off on every third loan, you end up at the same place. It's just not a loan-by-loan decision. It's a decision made on every single loan. And so they're averaging that concession out, if you will, across the line, which is also better from a fair lending perspective. So if you're doing that, that's really the strategy to try to employ on a longer-term basis. It is not an immediate fix. I get that. And some of these other ideas where people look at concessions seem like they're easier. They are. But easier isn't always better, right? So these are solutions that I'm trying to employ, or I think that our employees to get people realigned to where they should be without having to go and say, I'm just giving you a pay cut, and make it performance-based so that you're actually addressing those loan officers on the way they perform as opposed to an across-the-board change. Because, you know, the problem with an across-the-board change is it affects those who shouldn't be changed just as it affects those who should be. And the people who shouldn't be changed are the ones who get mad and leave. So a program like this where you're using scorecards to adjust and we're using maybe a pick-a-pay plan and or allows you to adjust based on actual performance and maybe a better plan on an ongoing long-term basis. So I hope this was somewhat helpful to you guys. I know this is definitely a hard time for people, but I would encourage you to have these types of conversations and deliberations as opposed to just doing something like what some of the easier fixes are out there, because I think those are all good and well today, but they may have repercussions tomorrow. And many times they do. You just don't always hear about them. So good luck. I hope, I wish everybody a really happy Thanksgiving, and I hope the month goes well. And I look forward to talking to you next month in December. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining in today, and I hope you found this helpful.